We heard in part one about the thriving Norwich Beer Festival. In our second feature this week, Derek James takes us back to the first Norwich Festival in 1951. Carolyn Wood will read his story, which includes some of the original introduction to the festival programme. Some of Barney Wood's texts may seem unusual, but we have deliberately left out the references to, quote, baffling and fractuosity, close quote, which left our editor baffled.
To the conscientious tourist who absorbs the prodigious knowledge of guidebooks, follows the stipulated routes, and clicks cameras, sightseeing is a great consumer of calories. The words of Barney Keelan in the souvenir programme welcoming people from afar and wide to the large Norwich Festival, which was opened by Princess Elizabeth in June of 1951. The city was one of a handful of places to be chosen to host a festival 6 years following the end of the war, a time to look forward to peaceful times and an opportunity for those running public houses, restaurants and hotels to welcome guests. As Barney said, there's nothing like a festival for raising an appetite. A few miles away, the sea yields up the best of fish and a host of crustacea, among them Cromer's famous crabs. These and other honest comestibles may be had in a great variety of eating houses. For centuries, the city has been providing for the wants of travellers, and she is thus well favoured in her inns, he added, singing the praises of the Maid's Head and the Bell Hotel. The Curate House, another ancient place, holds on its upper floor dining rooms lined with old oak. Below them is a chain of bars. If you should, by good fortune, lose yourself in the maze, you would be well advised to ask for the wine room. The difference here is that everyone is treated like a director, and the sherry will emerge from its retreat before you can say Jerez de la Frontera, said Barney, a true wordsmith. He goes on to praise Purdy's, the Castle Hotel, and the Royal Hotel. All offered sophistication and a good menu. There are other restaurants which provide well-served nourishment in agreeable surroundings. For example, the subterranean cafe in Prince of Wales Road, where your meal may be accompanied by poignant chimes from a collection of charming old musical boxes. In London Street, two other underground establishments play the part of an 18th century coffee house, acknowledged meeting place of leading citizens, in particular the law, architecture, commerce, civic administration, the press and people who serve the community in a position of authority relax with their friends. And Barney went on, although custom has restricted the clientele to the male sex, the visitor need not be shy of descending the steps. This is a coffee shop, not a closed shop, and he will surely appreciate the opportunity of meeting a cross-section of the city's public figures. Then he turns to the famous Norwich taverns. It must be enough to say each has its virtues. Some are adorned with the grace of past generations. Some have notable landlords. Some have a circle of particularly genial regulars. Barney added, from the Abernethy through to the Alphabet to the Woolpack, all have good ale. And while there have been so many changes since the days of the festival 75 years ago, with so many pubs closing and others changing names, both these popular and welcoming public houses are still serving locals and visitors.
Thank you, Carolyn.